Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us as we continue. It is a wake-up call. Ron Culver on vacation today as the Olympics got underway over the weekend. Boy, it is hot in Tokyo. That is a big concern. That weather is not as mild as they said it was going to be. Man, you are starting to see it in those outdoor events, how those athletes are absolutely drained. However, the games are underway, and you know, I've got my fingers crossed that they'll be able to complete it. Too many dreams are on the line, but I'm hoping so. But it does have a weird little vibe to it. It's very interesting to see these events, swimming, for example, without the raucous crowds. And even the outdoor events didn't seem like there was just people, even, you know, outdoors where you can, you know, space out a little bit. Didn't feel like there was an Olympic moment there either. But nevertheless, the games are underway, and we do tend to look around the sports world. Everything kind of slows down a little bit during the weekend. One big news happening in Olympic golf: Bryson DeChambeau and John Rahm both got COVID and both will not be playing. I thought John Rahm already had COVID. Am I missing something with that story? I already thought he did. If you remember the memorial a number of weeks ago, he got off the green on a Saturday and was told he had COVID and he had to get out of the golf course and get out of the tournament, and he was broken because he was leading by like six shots or something. And then a couple of weeks later, he won the U.S. Open. So it sort of kind of had a level of redemption. But I thought he already had COVID and now he's tested positive again. I thought that you couldn't do that. I know. I wish I should have paid more attention in science. Maybe there's an answer here. But nevertheless, both of those guys cannot compete in the Tokyo Olympics. Golf is in the Olympics, but it was it kind of came back to the Olympics in Rio a number of 5 years ago. This 3-on-3 basketball, though, is fascinating to me. We already have basketball. Do we need 3-on-3 basketball? Now, my daughter plays and she tells me, oh, it's a different sport. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, different skill. But if you're putting together your 3-on-3 team, I don't care what country you are, do you just take the people that didn't make the 5-on-5 team? Or are there people specializing every day in the skills necessary to play 3-on-3 Olympic basketball? And we continue along in his wake-up call on SportsMap Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I always love this bumper music when we play it. I love Beastie Boys. By the way, if you have Apple TV, watch the Beastie Boys documentary. It's good. They talk about their life, their careers. They're all kind of older now, and they look back on their youth. It's really interesting. The growth, the process, the ups and downs of being on that level of fame. Really good stuff, so I recommend it. Also, Ted Lasso, of course. Watch Ted Lasso. I was disappointed. I have been spoiled by some of these Netflix shows that come out where they don't mess around and they go, hey, yeah, you want six episodes? Bam, here you go. Just enjoy it. There you go. And Apple, so I settled in Friday to watch the season 2 debut of Ted Lasso. And I sat down and I was like, awesome. I got a couple hours. I'll binge watch Ted Lasso. First episode's done. I wait for the next one. I go, oh, there isn't a next one. I have to wait next week. What is this, network TV? This isn't what I paid for. This is not what I want. I want you to give me all of it so I can watch it all weekend and then be done. Wrap it up. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Watching these like what's like regular network television. Come on. We're kind of done with that, aren't we? By the way, Katie Ledecky lost the 400-meter freestyle yesterday, but she's still one of the greatest Olympic swimmers of all time. But nevertheless, it's, you know, she got beat, and it was a good race. When the men's basketball team lost, to France, I don't remember anybody going, oh, well, you know, that's okay. The next day, they'll throttle whoever they play. They're going to play Iran on Wednesday. They'll clobber Iran. I mean, clobber them. But there's more. Who's at fault? What's going on? What happened? Why is this occurring? What? Rather, remember when the United States soccer team, the women's soccer team, lost to Sweden? It was like, oh well, they'll bounce back. It was a tough defeat, but you know they'll be. Let's give the men the same sort of. I mean, do people believe that, or do they think that the United States men are not going to medal? I mean, they'll beat the teams they really should crush, but the good teams, the one with some NBA players on them, they might struggle against. I don't know. Like, what is Giannis going to do? Luka Doncic. He had 48 in a game against Argentina. If he plays the United States and scores 48, shouldn't the United States still win that game? Shouldn't they go, fine, Luka, get 48, whatever. Don't worry about it. I don't know. I'm wondering how many of the arrows are going to start coming for this team. You know, a bunch of NBA players not playing cohesive enough for the Olympic Games. So, I was not... It was weird. Sunday morning, it was like surprising, but at the same time, you kind of saw this build up coming. If they had not lost any exhibition games during the pre-Olympic events that they had, if they had not lost any of those, this would have been a bigger shock, a real big shock. But I think losing in those exhibition games, even if they're exhibitions, showed a vulnerability to that team that almost made it so that when France beat them, you're like, well, we kind of saw this coming, didn't we? I mean, Greg Popovich talked about how tough, you know, these games are and how good these teams are. But I don't think you can sugarcoat it. I mean, if you're Greg Popovich and you want to talk about how great France is, you can do that. But I don't think you're going to convince anybody in the country that that was an acceptable defeat for the United States basketball team. I don't think you'll get that far. I mean, you can talk about all the players and how they come together and how good Evan Fournier is. But the reality is they should have won. They should have won. And scoring in the 60s, and with that kind of talent on the court, if you're Popovich, you need to say, you know, you need to come out and say, look, this was unacceptable. Unacceptable loss. Can't do that again. Got to find a way to get better. France is all right, but we're one of the best teams here. We've got to be the best team here. Because the U.S. women's soccer team, just to kind of make a comparison, they knew Sweden was tough. Sweden beat them, you know, had beaten them before in the Olympics. But they know they're the best soccer team together. They know that. And they are like, okay, we lost. Maybe Rose Lavelle said it was like the best thing that could have happened, right? It was like, all right, we're not going to let this happen again. Maybe there's something to where the U.S. the men's basketball team does that. Or if they don't win, and there's a legitimate feeling that, my God, this could be tougher and tougher every single Olympics. I mean, the talent gap isn't going to get wider. I mean, that's the one thing. It's never going to be as wide as it was in the 90s. It's just going to get tighter and tighter. And there will be a day when these teams will step up to the United States and take them down. I mean, I'm not saying I was waiting for it, but at the same time, I kind of went, yeah, they were telling me this whole time that they could lose. So the Olympics, it's so funny with the Olympics too. It's something that, you know, we get this every 4 years. So we don't really get to know like the athletes that are participating in all these kind of sports. We get to know them once every 4 years. And we know how hard it is to train, and we get their stories. You know, they slept on a couch of a buddy, and they trained and they worked in the daytime and trained at night, and they had to go for sponsors, and then they had a car accident. They had overcome the car accident. Like, there's a whole bunch of stories to these athletes, but then there is this moment where everything is going to pay off. They are in the pool. They are on the track. They are running the marathon. They are on the bike. Whatever it is that they do, right? They're, you know, bow and arrowing, the archery, or whatever it is. The basketball team is an entirely different story. The basketball team has zero of that. None of that, right? The basketball team is, yeah, these are the guys that play in the NBA. And some of them got to play a little longer in the NBA because their teams made it far in the playoffs. And others have been off pretty much since the start of the postseason. And that's it. There isn't any hardship case. There isn't any, my God, he made it. He struggled, didn't make it last year, made it this year. This is a big deal. The family's at home watching. None of those things. Not in the golf, not in the basketball, the women's soccer team, same thing. None of that. Right? So the stories that you get of like this, you know, American synchronized diving team that had to sell everything they own just to make it to some training center. We don't get that with this men's basketball team. For us, it is appreciate it, win games. Glad you're on Team USA, Kevin Durant, but can you just beat France to start this thing? Thanks, Damian Lillard. If you wouldn't mind, can you score 30 points against France and put them away? If you're playing Iran on Wednesday, don't you win that game by 50? I mean, anything short of a 40-point win is unacceptable. I feel like Wednesday morning I'll be, you know, because it'll be like the game should be over by then. I don't know the time difference. But it's by Wednesday morning I should be like, well, it was only 38-point win over Iran. I don't know if we're ready for this. I don't know if we're going to be able to take on Argentina in the medal round. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Hit him up even if he's on vacation. Wish him well on vacation as we continue. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Superstart Batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and the professional parts people can help find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we looked it up. Sean has the answer to the Iran United States game. It should start. It's tomorrow night for us in the central eastern time zone of the U.S. It's when they say Wednesday, that means it's Tuesday night. Is
yes,
that true?
It's well, it just says July 27th at 23:40. Iran versus this versus the United States.
All right, so tomorrow night near midnight central time, because
yes,
you and I are both in central time.
Yes, I think
1 a.m. 1 a.m. Eastern time, right? 10 a.m. Pacific time is when you can get 10 p.m., I should say, is when those game when that game will start.
Yes.
This is awful. I hate this. The Olympics should all be in my area.
Maybe
all
in Europe.
Within my
Maybe
area.
In Europe. Europe's
Maybe
pushing
Europe.
It.
That's as far as I'll go. I want all of these things to be within a reasonable window for me to watch. You're going to suck me into these things. I need a better, I can't do the math.
Because
too old.
Even watching the NBC like primetime stuff, they'll go from live event, taped event, live
yeah.
event. And so I'm totally disoriented.
You remember, you know, during the Super Bowl when they say things like, you know, they'll say like, oh, this country, it's 3 a.m. in this country and they're watching the Super Bowl. And I'm like, too bad. I'm like, that stinks for you. It's not for me. It starts at a reasonable time. I enjoy it. Thank you. You know, I don't want to get up. I wouldn't want to get up at 4 a.m. to watch the NFC playoffs.
Yeah. Imagine waking up at 4 a.m. and where Azerbaijan or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
And then watching the Bucks win 31-9.
World Cup soccer people do this. Like World Cup soccer is notorious for this, where it'll be in one part of the world, and because it's such a global sport, you have people waking up at like 3 a.m. to watch a match and then going to work. Like, that's wild to me.
Yeah.
We're very spoiled here in the U.S. We like our, you know, we want to have dinner and then settle in for live television during the week.
Yeah.
Right?
I know international basketball fans, NBA fans, will also do the same thing. That I can't imagine watching, like, game two of a series at like four. Having to do that seven times.
Oh, my God.
Waking up at three in the morning to watch the Lakers.
And I feel bad for our armed services. You know, members of our armed services are around the globe, and they really love their team, and their team's making a run. And, yeah, they have to find ways to catch it at various times. Because sports is a difficult DVR thing. It's a very hard thing to DVR, right? I do that with some, you know, Gamecock football games, right, where my kids have things, and I'm like, all right, I can't be home for the Gamecocks, but they are playing Tennessee, so I'm going to DVR it, and when I get home, I'll stay away from my phone, right? And I can't stay away from my phone, right, because I need to see it. I stay away, and I don't do anything, and I run to the TV. I put the DVR on. Sometimes the DVR doesn't. I don't do the extend. I forget to extend it, and the game goes long, and I go, whoops, I missed it. I know I told this story before, but I got to repeat this. So the one time South Carolina was playing in the SEC championship game, and I didn't think that they were going to make the SEC championship game. They're playing Auburn. And we promised our kids and their friends that we would take them to the Christmas parade in downtown Denver. So my wife says to me, you know, you don't have to go. She's like, I know this is a big game for you. You don't have to go. And I said, you know what? No, I promise the kids I'll go. I'll just DVR it. I'm good. I'm totally okay with it. And I'll stay away from my phone. I know I'll get texts from my friends, but that's okay. If, you know, South Carolina was winning or whatever, I'm good. So we went to the Christmas parade. We picked a spot downtown Denver. And we, you know, took kids, and we brought some of their friends with them. So it was like a big, we had a group of like five kids. So Christmas parade goes, it was awesome. But here's the problem. Where I was watching the Christmas parade, right across the street was a restaurant. And in that restaurant, they had like glass windows. So it was downtown. So it's like one of those restaurants. Looks like a, you know, kind of a diner, had glass windows. And in that restaurant, right in my sight of you, was a small television that was above the bar area. Now, I could see the TV, but I couldn't really make out what exactly was happening. Mm. But you know when you follow a sport for a long time, you know some motions, and you know what it is? I was seeing one team was kicking off to another team a lot. Right. So I was getting the feeling South Carolina was not on the winning end of that game.
Steven Garcia wasn't marching down the field.
Just a small little bit of feeling like I think Cam Newton is torching the Gamecocks right now. So, again, I didn't know the score. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I wasn't surprised when I got back and put the DVR on. I'm like, yeah, South Carolina's getting throttled in this one. But I was warned because the restaurant across the street from me, I was watching it as I was watching the parade. I was trying to avoid it, but I couldn't avoid it. It doesn't work. So if you're into the Olympic Games as a live experience, you got to get up at all these hours to watch it. If you're a Katie Ledecky fan and she was racing in last night, I was watching it last night. I have no idea when it was. I just saw it on TV. Same thing with the men's basketball. I woke up, they were losing. I was like, oh, guess they're going to lose. But if they're going to beat Iran by 50 points, it's going to be on Tuesday night for me at nearly midnight. That's good. So, boy, it's really hot there. I saw this. Dan Wetzel's got a column at Yahoo Sports about how much the heat, the IOC, kind of knew that the heat would be a problem, even though Japan had promised when they were getting the games that their late July, August temperatures were going to be reasonable and sort of mild. But it is blazing hot. And you saw a little bit in the cycling and stuff, like people just passing out of exhaustion from the heat. So, you know, what did they want Japan to do? Like, Japan was probably like, here's our weather report. You know, if you give it to us, we don't know if it's going to be 1,000 degrees. There are periods of time here in Tennessee. Tennessee's hot in the summertime, but there is periods of time, you probably know this in Houston, where it's just more hot, right?
Yeah.
I expect certain temperatures in July and August, right? I go, okay, this is what it is. But then there's moments where it's like, oh, it feels like 107, 108. That's not normal. Sure, it's hot, but there are feelings like it's a little bit more on the, you know, the temperature's a little bit more extreme. But I don't know if you can blame the Tokyo Olympics salespeople who pitched the idea of this to the IOC that the weather was going to be fine. I mean, what do they have, a weather machine that was going to make sure it was going to be comfortable for everybody involved? I mean, and look, we're just going to like, unless you're going to put the summer games in the southern hemisphere where it's winter, you're going to get pretty much heat in a lot of places. Like, the summer games are going to Los Angeles, and I know in Los Angeles is a little bit more mild temperature-wise than a lot of places in America, but it could be 90 degrees when we get the summer games. It was hot in Atlanta in 1996. I'm sure it wasn't exactly chilly in Barcelona in 1992. Barcelona's a southern Spain places. So, you know, I don't know why people complain about the weather. It's, they say they lied about the weather. Lied about the weather? I mean, couldn't you look it up in a farmer's almanac? Do they have farmer's almanacs? Where you just go, what was it 5 years ago? Yeah, nevertheless. I'm excited about this, though. I'm glad they got it off. I did not believe it. I absolutely was a skeptic. I absolutely said over and over again, they'll be lucky to pull this off, and they seem to be pulling it off. All right, good for them. I don't know if the same pageantry of the Olympics in 2021 is the same. I don't know if the same feeling of, I don't know, unity and athletic competition, and I don't think that's existing, but at least they're getting it underway. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. The Houston Texans are fielding offers for Deshaun Watson. They say they want at least 3 first-round picks. All right, so I guess we're back to square one with Deshaun Watson. Remember, Watson wanted a trade. The Texans weren't going to trade him, and then he got into legal trouble, and then it was like, oh, yeah, good luck getting traded. But then it kind of comes around again, and now there's teams making phone calls and a little bit interested. I don't know if Texans get 3 first-round picks for Watson, but the legal issues aren't going to go away. But at least the dialogue is going to start opening up again to see if anybody is interested. And believe me, there'll be teams that are interested because there'll be teams looking at their current quarterback situation and go, ew. Teams, by the way, report. So the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are already in camp. Buccaneers started this weekend. Dallas and Pittsburgh started early because the preseason opener is on the 5th. Everybody else is going to report tomorrow and then start camp later on the 28th. So it's underway. And I don't want any more Tebow stories. Do we need any more Tebow stories from Jacksonville? I kind of hope we don't. But we're going to get them, so you might as well, you know, get used to it. I don't know. When the day he gets cut, if he gets cut, I wonder if people are going to just sit. Are they going to settle down and go, okay, this is reasonable? Or do you think the Tebow faithful are going to just go nuts, not understanding the real mountain he had to climb to get this done in the first place? Playing tight end, never played it before, needs his college coach to give him an invite anyway. These are big, you know, obstacles in his way to become a professional football player. I get asked that all the time. I swear, that is the one question I get asked more when it comes, hey, you think Tebow's going to make it? I have no idea. If he was on any other team, the answer is no. If he was under any other coach, the answer is no. But this guy, Urban Meyer, just might be crazy enough to actually make him one of the tight ends on the roster. He just might. What if you're Urban Meyer and you go, I have no choice. I read the tea leaves. We're in Jacksonville, Florida, his hometown. I'm a new head coach on this team, right? I couldn't say no. I had to find room for him. Because in his bubble, no one's going to criticize it. Outside the bubble, everyone's going to go crazy, right? He'll get skewered all over the country. But in the bubble of Jacksonville, Florida, he won't feel it at all. He'll probably be told what a great move it was, how brave it was, how wonderful it was. A guy like him, that's what we needed, a guy like him to make that happen. So, oh, God, training camp. I can't wait for it to get underway so we get closer to the season. All right, more on college football. It's not just the Big 12 and the SEC making news with Texas and Oklahoma. ACC is trying to expand as well in the changing landscape that ever changes. Name, image, and likeness, all of it in a package. Coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. Ron on vacation all of this week. Well-deserved, heading out to Colorado. I hope he has a very good time. All right, so we talked about the NFL training camps getting started, and not long is we're going to be talking about fall camp, college football, and the sort of new world that we're living in this sport. I've been a college football fan my whole life, even though I grew up in an area that college football wasn't it means more type of place. But I did want to go to a school that had a big-time college football program. I was kind of enthralled by that because it was so different, right? The pageantry, the energy, the excitement. There was something different about Saturdays. I mean, I loved the NFL as a kid. It was probably my first love. But the reality was college football, there was just this amazing environment to it. And it wasn't easy to sort of, I didn't have anybody really to talk to as a kid about college football. My friends didn't really follow it all that much in New Hampshire. And I did. I mean, I gobbled up the SI college football guide. But one thing that I hope with this new world that we kind of live in now is that, you know, I don't want college football to change so dramatically that it loses a little bit of what makes it attractive to a guy like me, right? I loved the urgency of games. I like the games mattering. I like the games that have meaning. Now, I'm not saying that a college football playoff is not a good idea and that we should go back to the computers or polls. No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want a watered-down college football season where games don't have the same level of impact, right? The big matchups mattered because there was a lot of consequences to losing, and there was a lot of reward to winning. If you were playing a 1-versus-2 matchup in the SEC, for example, or Michigan-Ohio State was when it used to be two teams that were in the top five, or any of those things, there was a lot of ramifications that would go into it. And now, in the past year, just in one calendar year, we are going to see the business of this sport change so dramatically that I don't know if it carries the same level of the same elements that are attractive to it. You're now going to have a world where college football coaches are going to be dealing with athletes in a completely different way and manner than they ever have before. The transfer portal has allowed the players to have more power, which is a good thing. Name, image, and likeness is going to allow players to have a lot more control about who they are and what they do than ever. That's a good thing. College football playoff could be expanding to 12. That's not such a good thing in my view. But in all of this shuffling of conferences now, that actually might be a good thing. We might actually have more of a linear way to do, you know, to work on this sport. The bowl games disappearing, I'm totally fine with that. Although I said the same thing about bowl games as I do with the preseason football, right? People complain. We love to complain, by the way, and we always complain about something. People always say there's too many bowl games. And my answer to that has always been, don't watch. Who's forcing you to watch these games? You don't want to watch the Bahamas Bowl. Guess what? There's other things on TV you can watch. For the two schools that are going to the Bahamas Bowl, those are important. That coach gets a month more worth of practice with his team because they made a bowl game than if the season had ended and they weren't going anywhere. Okay, so bowl games may be disappearing for, you know, in a different way or restructured in a different way. Fine. Playoff expanding? Okay. I knew it was going to happen because everything is about money. And it's the truth. It's fine. I get it. It's a business. But remember this one thing, and I think this is what it all boils down to. The athletes have a lot more power, right? They can transfer. They can not like their situation. They can leave. They can go play in another program. They can go where their value is going to be maximized. So if they're the starting quarterback at USC, for example, and they lose their job in week 3, and all of a sudden the freshman that is coming in from Calabasas is fantastic, and he knows that, nah, I ain't going to compete for this thing, he can just go off to Utah or go off to Oklahoma or go off to Texas or go off to Alabama, wherever they'll take him, and he can become a superstar there. He can also look around the landscape as to see where his name, image, and likeness will have more of an impact. and go to that particular school. Fine. All of that's good. The one institution, though, right? The one institution that we were kind of always going after as exploiting the athletes in the first place, their world doesn't change. In fact, it just gets more lucrative. That's the difference. It's that all of these athletes, every single one of them, has to go out and make their own name, image, and likeness deals. And if you don't get any name, image, and likeness deals, you're no different today as a student athlete than you were 10 years ago, with the possible exception that transferring is a little easier. Oh, of course there's opportunities. Obviously, anybody can get a deal anywhere for anything. That's fine. But for the most part, a lot of these athletes, almost a huge majority of them, will never get a deal, never get a opportunity to make a little money on the side. One, because maybe they play a sport where there's just not an attraction there. Maybe they're not good enough at the sport to star or to be a feature player. So they're a regular student athlete. When we went after the NCAA for years and years and years about paying student athletes, this isn't what we were talking about. When we said the student athlete deserves a share of the big, big NCAA basketball pie, that tournament pie that's divvied up to all the schools, the answer to that wasn't, well, they get to sell ads and make endorsement money. That's not what we were saying. The argument was always, this NCAA thing is making a fortune off the backs of student athletes who don't get paid. They don't get a piece of it. They don't get a little money. They don't get a cut, whatever it is. That is exactly what's in place today. It's mind-boggling to me how people think that the world of college athletics, because it's changed so much, made a dent into the business of college athletics when it did none of that. There is no sharing of the wealth here. There is just allowing student athletes an opportunity to make money doing whatever they want. And you know what? For the most part, and I don't think everything is corrupt, and I don't think there's a lot of schools that played by the books. A lot of this now is just going to be more open than it ever was before, right? If you grab some of the old stars of college football, right? And I don't want to name names because I don't want to speak for them. But I bet if you grabbed some of the guys from the 80s that were big, some of the guys that were 90s that were big, some of the guys in the 2000s that were big, and you got them in a room and you said, all right, it's open. No, you know, can't be hurt by this anymore. Did you get money under the table? They probably all raised their hand. Somebody ever give you a car? Somebody ever give your family member something? Did somebody ever give you a job or, an opportunity to make money and it was all under the table? They probably all do it. Now it's just going to be out in the open now. Now it's all going to be wide open. But the business model doesn't change, even though everything about the sport is changing and changing so dramatically. So dramatically that I can't get my arms around or my head around the idea of where this sport's going to be in 3 or 4 years, right? Remember, the college football playoff is one that just drove me nuts because when I was in college, I wrote a paper. We got to write, the professor had a huge list of papers. The idea of the assignment was to make an argument and then back your argument, right? So this was the, 1990. My English teacher says, hey, I got a list of topics here, and some of it was, political, but there was one for the sports guys too, and it was college football playoff. Again, make your argument in the essay, make 5 or 6 points, whatever. And when I did my research on it, and I was going to the library and I was reading articles, this was, 30 years ago. And what it was there was so many people who said, there's no method of making it work. Like, we want it, but there's no method of making it work. Well, they found a method to make it work. And then what they did was, once they found a method to make it work, it opened up the possibility of it working even better and more expanded. And that's exactly what they've done. Even though they kept saying all the time, no, we're not doing it. No, we're not going to expand this thing. No, that contract is locked in place for another 5 years. No, it can be amended. It can be changed. When they get to 12, how long are we going to be until the 13th team in whatever poll deserved its shot at 7-3 or 7-5, whatever it is, 8-4? How many of those schools, I mean, say, you know, it's just unfair, absolutely unfair that name your school is 13th and didn't get into this thing. We got to expand it to 24. It's going to happen. When you drive everything by money, where are the brakes? Where are the stop too much? You know, I think Mike Leach was kind of pointing this out when he was talking about the playoff expanding to 64. I think it was like a tongue-in-cheek way of saying, when do we stop this? This train is going to go and go and go, and it's never going to stop. Texas and Oklahoma are a perfect example of this. Why is Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC? Money. Okay. Why not five more teams in the SEC if it's about money? You know, would it be okay if the SEC had 30 teams in it? Why not, right? If the answer is just money, why not? If you could poach teams from the Big Ten, the ACC, heck, why don't you just get USC and UCLA on board? Why not? It's Southeast in some capacity. Right? I mean, what are we talking about? That's the problem with where we're going with this. That's the overriding issue. Is the sport going to be better? Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Is the athletes' lives going to be better? Yeah, for the most part, for a lot of them, yeah, absolutely. It's totally true. Is the expansion of the college football playoff going to allow more fan bases, a feeling of it's a little bit more open, even if Alabama wins it again or Clemson wins it again or Ohio State, you know, is the same teams at the top? At least the journey was tougher. At least the process was more fair. Okay, that makes sense. But if everything's about money, if we're changing, adding more teams because of money, allowing this because of money, this because of money, where would you stop as a business, as an institution going, that's enough? Right? Because 12 teams in the SEC years ago seemed to be good enough for a lot of people. But now Texas A&M and Missouri had to join. Now Texas and Oklahoma have to join. Why not four more, make it an even 20? And while you're at it, find 10 more teams and make it a huge thing. Make it like the NFL. If you're Greg Sankey, why don't you put 32 teams? Compete directly with the NFL. We have this on Saturdays. You have that on Sundays. Look at us. We'll even model the whole thing after you. We'll even do the same thing. We'll have four divisions, two conferences. We'll do the playoffs the same. It'll be really great. We'll run it congruent with what you're doing. You have your Super Bowl on Sunday, but the Saturday before the SEC championship game. We'll just follow along your schedule. You may laugh. You may think that's silly. You may think that's ridiculous. But go back 10 years ago and tell me all of the things you're seeing today. Tell me if there was a clear path to what we were seeing. How many people said it would never happen? How many people said it was ridiculous? It was not going to happen. Players, name, image, and likeness. That's chaos. 12-team playoff. Oh, you want to devalue the regular season? What are you nuts? It's what makes college football great. The more and more and more that this stuff goes away, for better or worse, I'm not saying it's worse, but the more and more it goes, the more possibilities, like I just said, about having a 32-team SEC conference just doing its thing on Saturdays while the NFL does its thing on Sundays. 10 years from now, you could believe it happens. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Jake Asman Show coming up next on Sports Map Radio. In this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage, ready for a new home, Rocket Can. By the way, did you watch Drive to Survive over the weekend? Like you said you were going to do on Friday, Sean?
I did. I not only watched two episodes, I watched four.
Oh, you're binging it now, right?
I guess, I suppose.
Yeah, four is a lot.
I mean, they're, what, 36 minutes?
All right, so they're not
30
super
minutes?
Long.
That's it's not crazy.
All right, good. Good, you like it?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love how honest everyone is, brutally honest these guys are. Love Christian Horner, big winner.
He's the best.
Big
He's
winner.
He's married to a Spice Girl.
Yes.
And how great is that?
Breeze right past it.
I know, like they barely even touched on it. They don't even tell you how they met, why she likes him more than all the other athletes she's dated in her life. They don't even touch on it. But I made the point on Friday that if you are a sport that's trying to get hold of the American audience, that this is a kind of method of doing it. It's like one strategic element of getting people interested in your sport. And I think they do a pretty good job of this with that series. They're like, look, we can't tell you to watch the races. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But here's a TV show about the dangers of it, and you might see some crashes, and you might hear people talking about crashes. I mean, their whole trailer was a mother going, I pray every day for a sake. Like, the whole point was, this is very, very dangerous, and you could die. And I think people are like, okay, I'll watch that, and then they get into the sport. What if you could do that with other sports trying to get a foothold in the United States market? Think it's a good idea?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Jay Gasman Show is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning as Ron continues his vacation, but I am here to Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call.